I know you can, Michael, but see, people might be waiting till exactly 9:30 to hear you. Yes, you do. So, yeah, I just want to give a little shout out to Michael, too, before he gets up here or before he starts. Our next speaker, Michael Stein.
Stein.
I got it. From Organic Farming Research Foundation. And just to give a shout out to Michael, he's done also extraordinary work here in D.C. He works here in D.C. and lobbies on behalf of organic researchers and organic farmers to get funding increased at OREI, for example. And I actually had a firsthand experience with him working a legislator and working a legislator staffer.
Yeah.
And I was amazed what a great job he did. He's very thorough. He does his homework, does a lot of research before he goes and talks to representatives. And we're really happy for all the work you've done, Michael. Thank you.
Well, like Kathleen said, I talk to legislators and their staff most of the time. So we don't dive as deeply into this type of information. Mostly they care about how much money it's bringing to their farmers, to their states, to their universities. So that's the information I get to present most of the time. But I'm covering for the other team at OFRF to talk a little bit more about our research and what we do there. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And you all are much more attentive than the 26, 27-year-old staffers that I usually talk to on campus. So OFRF, the Organic Farming Research Foundation, we've been around since 1990. We focus on organic research, organic education, and organic policy. Now, I get to do the policy work and the farmer and grower education, but now I get to talk to the researchers. And our overall aim is to foster and improve the widespread adoption of organic farming systems throughout the country using policy, education, and research. Now, the need for organic research is growing exponentially as the demand for organic products grows. This chart's a little bit old, but you can see fruit and vegetable is the highest demand from consumers for organic products. USDA's NAS data says that farmers are growing about $7.6 billion worth of organic crops at farm gate sales. It's about $49 to $50 billion worth of total overall sales in organics in the U.S. So it's a big market. There's increasing demand. 82% of households in the U.S. are buying an organic crop or organic product. So the demand is there, and we're hoping that the research can support the farmers and growers to meet that demand. OFRF, the Organic Farming Research Foundation, we fund organic research projects. All of you researchers out there, I know that there's some of you here that have gotten funding from OFRF. We've got our next letter of intent requests out, so if you're looking for more funding, I don't have the answers or the purse strings, but our information is open and available online, so take a look at OFRF. We've funded about 337 organic research projects in our time, a little over $3 million, and a lot of that has been on fruit and vegetables. We focus on researchers that are working with farmers, addressing farmer-specific needs. Needs are always the same: pests, weeds, disease, soil health, crop management, things like that. And a lot of our research, at least what we like to tell ourselves and tell USDA, is that our research has helped researchers go on and be more successful for OREI grants, SAGE grants, AFRI grants. It helps researchers to get that baseline data, support grad students to do a lot of the grunt work, and then go be more successful for USDA funding later on. And we identify most of our organic research priorities based on farmer feedback. We survey farmers around the country. What are your needs? What are the challenges? What are you facing? And, of course, it varies depending on what crops they're growing, what parts of the country they are. But the trends across the board are soil health, weed management, insects, plants, pest diseases, and cultivar development. That's one of the big challenges that we're hearing from farmers a lot is we need crops that are specific for organic practices. And all this data and information is available online. You can dive through the 200-page study and get all the information. Here's the biggest thing that we're taking away from organic farmers. 74% of the thousands that we're surveying saying soil health, writ large, big picture, is a high research priority. So there's some of the examples of things that we are hearing from farmers. Well, we need to know what soil health is, what it looks like. We need to know best practices in soil health management to cope with climate variability and change. We need to know how to measure what's happening out on our fields. Sure, we can gather some data and send it to Cornell or send it to the land grant, but we want to be able to measure it quickly and then be able to make decisions from there. And then research on what farmers can do to build soil health, what they can mend, how they can impact fertility and yields. So in addition to talking to farmers, we took a look at USDA's organic research data. So we've presented this to Matt and Steve in the back a couple of times and other people around D.C., but we took a look at where USDA has been funding organic research through OREI, the Organic Ag Research and Extension Initiative, and ORG, the Organic Transitions Program. not only what parts of the country they've been funding, but what crops they've been funding and where the gaps are. So we made a lot of recommendations to researchers saying, well, you know, there hasn't been a lot of research in organic rice. Who's doing this? Take a look. And we've also been talking to USDA saying, you know, Southeast is a little underrepresented. Take a look at what's happening coming out of there. So that's been very helpful across the board. It also helps when I go to lawmakers and say, well, you know, take a look. Your state is getting a lot of OREIM funding, or you've had a lot of organic research. So, you know, even though you don't really know or pay attention to what's happening in organics, take a look. Like University of Florida is getting a lot of organic research. They've got eight OREI and ORG programs. So this is something that has been helpful in our analysis, but also in talking to folks around the country and what's happening with organic production and what's happening with organic research. This data parallels a lot of the organic hotspots, of course, where there's a lot of organic farmers, there's a lot of organic production. There happens to be, you know, some organic research happening at those states and at those land-grant universities. So overall, our analysis of USDA's organic research funding shows that there's been about $200 million, a little over, of organic research that's been funding through USDA, through the ORG and OREI programs. A lot of it is focused on vegetables, some fruit, and some other horticultural crops. Now, a lot of these have been kind of looking at a variety of issues. So soil health, soil biology, fertility, a lot of them have addressed those in one form or another, cultivar development, education, trialing, and then a lot of them have addressed organic management, whether it's weeds, pest diseases. So it's nice to see that a lot of the research needs that we are hearing from farmers are being addressed by the USDA-funded research. So taking a big, broad look, which is what we've done looking at the organic research we funded and the organic research that USDA has funded, some of the big trends, especially when it comes to soil health, are looking at, you know, kind of looking at introducing a perennial sod break, you know, 1 to 3 years and part of a rotation with organic vegetables to help reduce kind of the weed, pest, and disease pressures. I mean, it helps to reduce the seed bank of the weeds and helps vegetable farmers avoid kind of the cultivation treadmill, which what a lot of organic farmers are getting at each pass that they're doing in the field to control weeds. It may lead to a heavy flush and new weed emergence. And overall, things like cover cropping, composting, manure to build soil health and soil fertility, although not too much, helps to rebuild overall soil organic matter, restore the soil structure, and provide overall health. And taking a look at enhanced microbial diversity and the soil's capacity to provide plants with the nutrients that are necessary. One study that Mark Schoenbeck, who helped me put this together, pointed out with that one long-term trial out of Pacific Northwest, I don't know if anyone here is from Washington State, but showed some significant yields in vegetables utilizing a rotary spader rather than a compacting plow disc tiller. He thought that was interesting and wanted me to share that with you, so there you go. If you know what that means, good. I haven't seen a rotary spader in quite a while. So overall, when we're talking to farmers across the board, all sorts of production practices, the biggest soil health challenges that we're hearing across the board are, you know, low residue crops. A lot of the vegetable crops that they're producing, especially with root crops that are coming out of the field, provides less food for developing soil life and soil nutrition and fertility. Weed control is constantly a problem. Frequent cultivation can degrade soil structure overall and increase risk of erosion. And then nutrient management, especially with organically supplied nutrients, is always a challenge. With high nitrogen feeders like broccoli, relying on compost and manure can impact overall soil health. To take all of that information, we've presented a series of 7 guides for farmers. These are farmer-specific guides that are an overall analysis of soil health research. These are all available on OFRF.org. We are doing webinars across that are available for free. We're doing some presentations at farm conferences around the country to support farmers in what practices they can do to build soil health. Another big challenge that fortunately we have some experts here in the room on are the crop genetics for organic horticulture and organic cultivation. You know, cultivars are most productive under the conditions for which they're bred. And so when organic farmers are looking for cultivars, they want them to be bred and produced for organic systems. When crops are produced for use with our synthetic fertilizers, herbicides, and pesticides, they tend to not be as productive. So what we're hearing from organic farmers is they need crop cultivars that can thrive on nutrients from organic sources, tolerate weeds or outcompete weeds, resist locally prevalent diseases or pests, and also meet market demands. Color, flavor, nutritional value, shipping, transportation, easy harvest, all sorts of things. So we've got a couple of examples of some good ones that we've been looking at. But here's kind of the overall plant genetics. You guys know this stuff. This is stuff that I'm not telling you about that's anything new, but vigorous top growth, outcompeting weeds, rapid emergence, quick to yield, quick to produce, and then enhance plant-microbe interactions. to increase nutrient efficiency and uptake. So these are the kind of the big picture things that all of our farmers are talking about on a regular basis. Some really interesting studies that are happening are at institutions around the country are the Care and Improvement for Organic Agriculture. I think Julie Dawson is a part of that project. So if you have any questions, oh, good.
The PI is here.
Ask them all the questions you want. This is one of the things that we've taken a look at. Say, this is great. We're glad carrots are 14% of organic agriculture crops. 40% of organic crops sold are carrots. So this is an important thing that farmers are looking for across the board. It's a high-value crop for a lot of organic farmers. So looking at cultivars, looking at what can help suppress weeds, what can lead to quick emergence, vigorous top growth, things like that are very important for organic farmers. Same thing with the tomato organic management improvement one. Julie, are you on that one? All right, good. Same thing, looking at challenges with diseases, what farmers can have, what cultivars they can utilize to help address late blight, early blight molds and other challenges they have in the fields, and also looking at production practices to address, you know, getting those things to market. Another study that OFRF initially funded that went on to successfully compete for USDA funding was a really interesting work out of UC Santa Cruz on anaerobic soil disinfestation, looking at using anaerobic microbial activity to kill pathogens and suppress nematodes. It's been utilized very well for organic strawberry production. The study was a 4-year organic strawberry vegetable rotation to reduce the number of strawberry pathogens. Yields and net returns improved. And this is something that initially was coming out of research, I think, in Netherlands and Japan. It was adopted for field trials at UC Santa Cruz. We funded it a little bit, and it's been doing great and helped to replace methyl bromide in strawberry production, at least in California and around the country. Overall, all of our research-based information is available online for free. All the researchers that we fund, they put up at least some of their data, some of their information, and their reports on our website so we can get that information out to farmers. We have databases that are searchable on our website. We have our guides to soil health that I talked about there. The National Organic Research Agenda, surveying organic farmers and their research needs, is available online, as well as the Taking Stock report that looked at what USDA has been funding. And all the other reports and good things that we do are available online and other interesting places as well. The Extension is a lot of places where we go and get information, where we also share that information with farmers. A lot of the studies that we pulled up and talked about here took a look at what was happening in the Extension. So thank you very much for writing those reports up and putting them up online so we and other farmers can have access to them. And since you're here in Washington, D.C., and I get to work on the Farm Bill all the time, I'm going to give you a real quick update on what's happening with organics. We're pushing for more money for OREI. OREI success rate, you can talk to the experts in the back, but we've heard from researchers that they're applying, they are receiving, oh, you've got excellent projects, but we're not able to fund you. So we're pushing for more funding for OREI. Fortunately, even in a polarized partisan environment in Capitol Hill, we've been able to get more money in both the House and Senate Farm Bill drafts for OREI. The House had a $10 million increase for OREI. The Senate had even more. So right now, they are in a conference committee to negotiate the differences between the House and Senate bills. So I'm working with them to say, hey, OREI is important. Organic research is important. What's happening in your state and in your district is important, and we're hoping that they'll come through for us to support more funding for OREI so that the USDA can have more funds to supply researchers to do more research to meet the farmer needs and challenges for organic research. That's all that I've got. Any questions? Email Diana Jerkins at OFRF.org or ask the experts here in the room. So, all right, I'll do my best, and if not, I will point to the experts. Mm-hmm. Which state? Okay. Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at specific soil amendments, fertilizers, organic herbicides, taking a look at what works, what they can utilize that would reduce their reliance on conventional practices, but steps them. Okay. Of course. Excellent. Thank you. Yes?
In your opinion, should the
From the organic research perspective, the Senate bill has more support for organics. It has more support for organic research funding. It has more support for the organic certification cost share program, which provides a little bit of funding for farmers to offset the cost for certification. And it has some more robust support for organic enforcement mechanisms to deal with trade and import and export issues. So there are a lot of good provisions in the Senate bill for organics, but when it comes to the Farm Bill, organics is a very, very small piece of a much larger multi-billion dollar spending bill. But from my perspective, we have a lot of good wins in the Senate bill on organics. Thank you. Uh-oh.
I have one. It might be a bad word in this room, but do you think there's enough money to do research in solar systems with organic fertilizers now that you can certify solar systems?
I mean, enough, excuse me, you're never going to hear that there's enough funding for research. The Senate, I don't know. I mean, and for OFRF, it really will depend. I mean, I'm not the one that makes the decision. We are looking at what the farmers' needs are. And since our farmers are, by and large, saying we need research on soil and soil health, that'll be a challenge internally for us. I don't know about at the USDA. I do know that the Senate bill has a new research program that they've introduced that they're trying to get through the Farm Bill that'll have a $5 million a year program to look at urban agriculture innovation and soilless systems. So that is another reason to take a look at that provision. And if you're talking to folks, that's an interesting new research project that they're looking to fund through the Farm Bill. But in terms of what's currently happening at USDA, that's something I don't have the answer to.